for a national Messiah of the Savior. That was promised to them in Old Testament, and they knew it, and they had heard it many times by the priests as they preached, the scribes as they wrote, to take them out of this bondage from this powerful Roman authority. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Life is no different today as it was back in those days. There's a lot of bondage and troubles going on in America today that we just are it surprises us. It really surprises us. I mean, good night, all the things that are going on, the filth and the meanness to me, I just call it a cheat of people that, you know, we are a republic. And we are to run our government. Not the government run us, but we're to run our government. And it bothers me when our people who we elect come into office and then they try to do something and those that embedded bureaucrats and everything say, no, we're not going to do that. I have a real hard time with that. Amen. Well, these people back in those days are having a real hard time too. And the Roman government was just really shoving it down their throat. And they've been praying, they've been crying to the Almighty God, if only the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament by the prophets of old would come and rescue us from this plight. Something very strange, though, is happening. They're witnessing a great miraculous miracles of a man from Nazareth. He's doing things that are unspeakable. He is doing things that are so amazing that they don't have the words for it. They know of a man named Lazarus over in Bethany. He died and had been in the tomb for 4 days, and this Nazarene comes and calls for him, and he said, open up that tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes and he said, unbind him. And here comes a man who is dead for 4 days. He's alive and well. I don't know about you, but that's amazing. It reminded me of the preacher one time. He was preaching a funeral sermon, and this brother was laying in the coffin in front of him, and he began to preach. And his wife said, Oh, Rastus, please come forth. Rastus, you can't be dead. Please. And all of a sudden, the undertaker was kind of over by sitting here, and he looks at the preacher. And he said, preacher, what happens if he does arise? He says, I'm going out the back door. Funeral home director said, well, there ain't no back door there. He said, there will be. It's an astounding miracle. I don't know about you, but I've been around dead people. I used to work at a funeral home. I was hired to wear Smith Funeral Home, to drive ambulance, and work at the funeral home. That's how I paid for my college. And the first night I was home from college, I came to wear Smith, and he said, this is where you're going to sleep. You know where they put me, Brother Rick? They put me in the casket storage room. That's not very good for this old scared old little boy. You see, you're scared, yes. Well, do you have anything to be scared about? You're 220 pounds. You're 6 foot tall. You're a football player. You're just rock, muscle, and steel. Oh, yeah? I'm scared to death. Ask me if I took my clothes off and go to bed that night. No, I didn't. Are you kidding me? Now I wake up and all them gold and silver with brass. Oh, my goodness. Scared to death. And I can tell you some stories you don't want to hear. I know when a man is dead, he is dead. Once he's dead, you can say anything you want. He don't care. Once he's dead, you can move him around and you may push him here, push him there, but he don't respond. This man was graveyard dead 4 days. You remember what his sister says? Lord, he stinketh. And they really do. You smell a corpse that's been around for a little bit without being embalmed, you can tell. And the Lord God, hey, here cometh Jesus. Lazarus! Somebody said, thank God he said Lazarus because the whole place would come undone. Amen. Lazarus, come forth. And because of this miracle, for most part, they were convinced that this was the prophesied, promised Messiah, the Christ of the Savior. They remember the scriptures over in Zechariah where he prophesied in chapter 9 and verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, upon the colt of an ass. Wow. Prophecy. You know, the Bible says, Jesus says, when he cometh, will he find faith? There is so much junk out there today. They have polluted so much of the scriptural message that people know they will believe anything. There's so many people that have no faith at all. Ah, that's just a fairy tale. That's just for you Christians, just a, you know, you're just, that's your crutch. Well, you can call it crutch or not. But I'm going to take what the Bible says and I'm going to hang on to that. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 12. And the next day, much people were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Took branches of trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon and is written, fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass. These things understood not the disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, I get it now. When Jesus went to heaven, then they understood it. They remembered these things were written on, about him, and they had done these things unto him. And the people, therefore, that were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record for this cause, the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracles. And the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. The world is gone after. Gone after who? Gone after the Lord Jesus Christ. Then cometh Jesus on the colt of an ass. Growing up on a farm in Michigan, I used to get in a lot of trouble. One of those messes I happened to be playing over at my grandparents' place, and they were down in Florida, hadn't returned yet. And I went into their house, which was a big no, Sheldon. No. And I found some big old kitchen matches. I went outside and found a kerosene heater that we used to use for the animal water tank and keep it from freezing. We'd put it underneath the tank and it would keep it heated. Being a bright and brainy child, I took it over to the gas barrel and filled it up with gasoline. I filled it up. Firefighters, you're glad that I filled it up, right? I didn't fill it half full. I filled it all the way up. You say, what were you thinking? That's funny. I do remember my father asking me that question. What are you thinking? Well, I took one of those great big old big kitchen matches and lit it. And it went something like this. Wow, that was impressive. Now, as a young boy, I didn't take in consideration that I should have moved that heater away from a standing 250-gallon gasoline tank. Also, as a young arsonist, I didn't take in consideration the gas burns very hot and the flames get very high. They go higher than the standing 250-gallon gasoline tank. As I was assessing the immediate situation, my dad saw the fire and came flying across the field on his tractor, jumped off the tractor, grabbed a nearby tub, and threw it over, and the fire extinguished the fire. The gigantic, monstrous, gargantuan yellow flame and black smoke discontinued. After everything quieted down, boy, I was happy that it didn't come with Daddy. Many times we run out of money, and our Heavenly Father comes and rescues us. Many times we hear the doctor say that dreaded C word. And then comes Jesus. Many times we get a phone call that someone who we love has left us. And then comes Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a terrible thing not to have a Jesus. Some of you have not met your Jesus yet. Some of you have professed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you have not experienced the loneliness, the darkness, the shadows of death yet. But you will. For the Bible said is the point on a man once died and then the judgment. The heartaches of a wife leaving you or a heartaches of a husband leaving you or a heartaches of a son or a daughter that you've tried so hard to raise them up and given them every opportunity that you could give them to teach them how they ought to live. Unfortunately, they do not have your God. They haven't found their God yet. And it will devastate you. Each one of us pray when we have problems, then we pray that Jesus comes. I want you to remember, child of God, even though we are living in a world of filth and decay and dismay, we witness mankind at its worst, men and women living worse than wild beasts. Every day we see the world go deeper, deeper, deeper into sin and degradation. Morals seem to be at an all-time low. Isaiah experienced that when he said in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." When you experience all kinds of troubles and you see all kinds of disasters, it seems that you are unable to bear any more to that point, that it seems that you cannot handle any more. Remember, then cometh Jesus. I hear the terror and the sad things that are going on in our world. I was just—I don't know why I had the radio on, but I was coming over here. I try not to have it on because it did bother Marcia quite a bit. But I was listening, and this man was saying that they were the Muslims were at their holy day of prayer. You probably heard this, and they were praying that they were cursing Jerusalem. They were cursing the Israelites. They were cursing America. Death to America. Death to the Israelites, the Jews. And they were just going on. And somehow, one of their own people of the Brotherhood came in and blew them all up. And I thought, don't mess with God's people. Don't mess with the Israelites. You see, that just happened. I'm telling you what, I believe that was God's judgment upon them. I really do. You can think what you want, but I'm going to put that one down as God's judgment. I'll just put a check there. God did it. Amen. I want you to remember, when trouble comes, heartache comes, I want you to do this. You just praise the Lord. I'm trying to teach you something. Listen to me, young people. Praise the Lord when problems come. You say, that's kind of stupid. Well, it could be worse. Just praise the Lord. God, I want you to know I'm going to praise you no matter what. Habakkuk said, even if there's no ox in the stall, and even though our land just gives briars and thorns, I'm going to just keep praising the Lord. Job, when his heart was completely blown apart of all his life, all his slaves were gone, all his crops were gone, all his children are gone, everything, his health was gone, and his wife said, curse God and die. Hey, let me tell you something. She was having a pretty tough day too. She lost all her people that were doing work for her to help her. She lost all her wealth. She lost all her babies. She's having a tough time. In that I really didn't hear Job. Now you may tell me, but I haven't heard anything where Job says, shut up, woman. I didn't see him do that. Lady, I'm going to say something. You probably get mad at me, but the man is supposed to be able to be man enough to man up. You're there to encourage him, but he's there to love you and protect you. He's your protector. There are some times in your life that you may just spout off, like you do. And a man ought to be man enough to understand that he needs to be your encourager and be your lover and be one to put his arm around you and say, hey, it's okay. I believe what the Bible says, you're the weaker vessel. That's not bad. It just says you're a weaker vessel. You ought to be thankful that God is not going to call you accountable how you raised those kids and call you accountable how that house went. God is going to call your husband to account of how that he led that home. You hear me? That's what the Bible says. I want you to remember, number one, you praise the Lord. First thing on your lips. We were in here working. I don't know. It was around here someplace. And, man, I smashed my thumb with a thumb. And I said, well, praise the Lord! And this guy looks at me. He was not a Christian. He was a guy from base. Most of them aren't. But anyway, that was supposed to be funny. But I shamed my thumb. I said, well, praise the Lord! He said, Reverend, what in the world? You praise the Lord for banning? I said, ban is better than losing the whole thing. Amen. Well, I guess you got a point there. Man, that thing hurt. Man, I spit out. I kissed it. I sucked it like a 2-year-old, man. Man, I want to do like a hound dog, you know. But I said, praise. Hey, when troubles come, listen to me. Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. I want you to remember to live. Secondly, I want you to remember to live day to day. Jesus said, there's enough troubles in today, let alone worry about the troubles of tomorrow. Live day to day. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do in a couple of days. Hey, God is never in a hurry, but He's always on time. He's always on time. Always. Well, I don't got that done yet. Well, it's not supposed to be done for a couple of days. Wait patiently on the Lord. Praise Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By the way, one of these days, He's coming. One of these days, He's coming. One of these days, you will hear the great trumpet of heaven. I believe with all my heart, the old Gabriel right now licking his lips ready to play that trumpet. Amen, sister? I always like to lick them lips before you play that trumpet. Amen. Get them moist. I heard a preacher say, I believe God is coming so soon, every time I hear a horn honk, I'm on my tiptoes. I don't know when He's coming. In fact, Jesus Christ says, I don't know when He's coming. Only the Father knows. So don't put no dates on it. I got a pretty good idea when I read in the Bible that things are happening. As in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They're drinking, they're marrying, they're on and on and on, you know. One of these days you're going to hear that great trumpet of God from heaven. and the Lord shall appear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus, for the Lord himself descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we. I love that next word. And so shall we ever. Hey, brother, we ain't coming down to this old crappy place anymore. We're not going to come down to this fighting trouble place. We're not going to come down to this place that we're always in trouble and sorrow. Bless God, when we go there, we'll ever be with the Lord. And ain't nothing going to happen when Jesus is with you. We'll ever be with the Lord. Last statement. This is Paul's last statement. Verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Wherefore? I want you to look at that in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18. Wherefore? Comfort one another with these words. Troubles and sorrows come?
Yep.
What do? I praise the Lord. Heartaches come?
Praise the Lord.
You know, sometimes we spend so much time griping about things that are going on and we have nothing to do with it. I mean, you can't change it. Some of your children go away from God and do not do the things that you've taught them for all their life. Are you going to change that? Are you going to change it? Can't change it. You know why? They have a free will. I heard a preacher said, I pray more for the weather than for people. Because people have to answer to God, and for the most part, they won't answer right. But the weather, God will answer you. Yeah, something. You're going to come a time in your life, you're going to say, what? Are you kidding me? And it breaks your heart, and you've done everything you could. Let me tell you something. Number one, you did everything you could. Remember that. I did what I did, what I did, what I did to get this kid down this place. And if he refuses to go that way, he will stand before a holy God and answer because of that. You've got to leave it alone. It breaks your heart. You're saying, that's not the way you lived in our house. You can't say that to them. Because they came to you and said, I'm going to marry her. And you gave approval. Yeah. You gave them approval. And once they get married, they're no more your responsibility. You understand that? More marriages are broken up because mom or daddy got their nose in the kid's business. Did you know that? That's not your job. First of all, you said, dear God, I'm raising that child for you. I'm not raising for me. I'm raising for you. If my child, I have three boys, and my children call me, one of my child comes up, calls up to dad, what do? I said, well, son, this is what I do. I don't know what you're going to do, but this is what I do. I found out a long time ago that the advice that I give to people, if it's what they thought is good advice, if something happens, it's because of me. Well, if I did that, I had a guy tell me one time, and I really thought about it, and I knew that God really spoke to my heart about it. I said, I wouldn't do that. Your lady, he cursed me about it and said, if I would only do it, I'd listen to you. Well, let me tell you something. Okay, maybe once in a while the preacher is wrong, but most of the time I'm not wrong. Most of the time I'm not wrong. Do you think I just have a good time of screwing your life up? Are you crazy? I love you. I praise you. I study my heart out for you. I give my life for you. I've given the best years of my life for you. Why would I want to hurt you? I want to help you. I might come up to you and say, you know what, according to the Word of God, I don't think you really doing what you ought to be doing. Well, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Rebuke, exhort. The Bible says that the pastor is the bishop. Bothers me you don't call me Bishop Shearer on here. Talks more about the bishop than the pastor. I think only one time the Bible talks about the pastor, but it talks about the bishop a lot. You know what bishop meaning means? The overseer. The Greek idea is that he is looking over and making sure everything goes just right for that church. You may have a great idea, but you've got to have an overseer to make all this thing work together. The Bible says that obey them that have rule over you. How many like your children obey you? Raise your hand. You know the Bible says that you're to obey this pastor. Salute them that have authority over you. Hey, Brother Jim, you're an officer. When a private or an airman was walking by you, what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to what?
He's supposed to render courtesy or respect.
Yeah.
And he does it first.
He does it first. That's right. Did you know the Bible talks about a pastor like that? You think I want to be your Didn't I want to talk to you about the way you dress? Talk to you about your vacancy of going to certain meetings of our church? You think I like to say, hey, you know what, I'm really bothered by you. I'm really worried about you. Where have you been? You realize when I pull into church and I see certain people that are not here tonight, do you think what? Guess what the preacher's thinking? Oh boy, I wonder where they at. Well, they don't miss Sunday night. I don't know where they're at. See, that's why I always want you to sit in the same seat. Or you're not supposed to be over there. Drive me crazy. This morning, people, you people are supposed to be here. Crazy. I want to know where you're at. If you're out of town, I want to know it. You say, why? Because I'm your pastor. I want to know why you're not in church. I want to know why. Well, pastor, we're sick. We're not doing well. Well, thanks. Let me know. I'm glad. I want to pray for you. You say, you just got too much control over us. No. When I was growing up, I grew up on a farm. And my father had 200 sheep. And my dad inspected those sheep every day. He was a shepherd. And he's looking after them. He wanted to make sure they had the right feed. He wanted to make sure that nobody had an owie. He wanted to make sure that the little lambs were doing okay. The Bible calls the pastor a shepherd. You can go to a church tonight that they're just happy you had theirs Sunday morning and Sunday night. But you got a pastor that loves you to death. And I cringe when I see some stuff go over the internet. I cringe when I see some of our members. I'm going like, don't you understand? I cringe when people just kind of flaunt things that, boy, it's just not right to do. I'm really, it struggles me as a pastor. I want you to know that if you're going to come to Heritage Baptist Church, you've got a pastor that loves you and concerned for you. When one of my ladies gets up and sings, and her heart is broken and she's singing you her testimony, I'm dying for her. I just happen to slide right up beside her and start singing with her. Almost. I thought, oh boy, here we go again with Brother Jonah this morning. Oh boy. And I didn't know that song very well. I thought, boy, I hope he makes it through. God get him through that thing, amen. I'd screwed it up more than him, amen. But to me, his heart to this morning when he sang that about the Savior. And when you get, Ori was saying, well, I said, Ori, that's the way we want you to sing it. We want you to sing it up there getting proud and think you're something else. We want you to get up there and sing your heart. I love what husband used to be president of Howells Anderson. Mrs. Evans used to say, you know, Brother Shearer, you don't sing your songs, you preach your songs. When you come behind this pulpit, don't waste our people's time by murmuring and we can't understand your words. Slow down and sing that message to our hearts. Sing it from your heart. I was in college and I was in two different college choirs. There were over, one was about 100 boys, another one was about 70 boys. The Madrigal choir was we sang without instruments. The other choir was we sang with instruments. And there was a guy named Danny. He was an Irish tenor. You never heard anybody sing like that. He was amazing. And one day we're in practice just before chapel. And I still remember Brother Scoville said, Danny, sing it with your heart. Sing it with your heart. And all of a sudden, Danny sang it with his heart. And the whole choir was weeping. Because he sang the words of the song. That's what we just want to. We're not up here performing. This is not a performance place. You may sing off key. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You may sing off key, but you sing it from your heart. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. Are you telling them to listen to me? Oh, yes. Hey, I love you. I pray that your life, though you're going to go through troubles, I know that you're going to go through some real heartaches in your life. Yes, you are. Remember the day that came to the hospital and that little baby wasn't breathing just right? And that was one of the storms. To me, when that happens in my life, that reminds me how important it that I'm very careful that I live closer to God. He gave you a gift. He gave you a gift. Look at that little lady right there. God gave me a gift. I still have her. She comes up with some things, pretty funny things. I'm blessed. So make sure that when things are happening in your life, the first thing you do is what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Secondly, live one day at a time. If I can get you to do those two things, praise the Lord, just live one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what this is, what that is. You just worry about today. Take care of the business today. Live godly. Don't jump out of the boat. Boy, a lot of people get in trouble. They jump out. Well, it's not working. I'm mad. I don't like what people are saying. Hey, stay in the boat. It's very dangerous when you get out of that boat. You're on your own. You stay in this boat. There's pastor and there's people in this church who want to help you and get you through that thing. Stay in the boat. Father, bless this time. We love you. Help us walk close to you. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.